Okay, ready to go? Chapter 119. Today we're going to study verse 92. Lulei Seirascha Shashuai. If not for the Torah being my delightful preoccupation, or if not for my delight in the Torah, Oz avadati bi'anyi, then I would be lost in my agony, in my pain. It's a very profound statement. David HaMelech says that it was the Torah that somehow saves him. So we're going to begin our analysis by looking at the Radak, who says that this pasuk, verse 92, is a continuation of the three verses of Lamed that came prior. And the Lamed trilogy was about divine design, Hashem's constant creation of the heavens. We talked about the Almighty's engagement with earth. L'doy v'der koinanto, Hashem continuously establishes earth, v'tamed, and it stands. And we talked about the idea of Hashem's judgment. We talked about the consistency of all of creation. And the upshot was that nothing just happens. Everything happens with a reason, and everything happens by divine design and with Hashem's choreography. So Radak says, Im kein, if it is so, kemoi shedvorcho kayim bashamayim uvaretz, if it is so that it's your words that enable heaven and earth to be sustained, then in that case, kein yihye dvorcho v'haftachoscho kayim. So then your words and your promise will be fulfilled. Ki kamat kimat avadati ba'ani, Radak says, I almost was lost in my sorrow. Mepeiroidfai, from those who pursued me. Lulei shateiroscha shashuai, if not for your Torah, which was my delight. Vehem yinachamuni, and it was those words of Torah that comforted me. Vele avadati mitugas libi, I did not become overwhelmed by the pain in my heart. Okay, so in other words, Radak says that it's because of the Torah messages that are represented by the previous three verses, which is the idea of God's constant creation, God's involvement, and so on and so forth, because of these ideas, which are Torah ideas, that's how, Radak says, David HaMelech was able to find comfort, and that's how he overcame the sorrow that he was and the misfortune that he faced. And Radak is very specific. He says, just as I understood that it's your word that enables all of the universe to exist, so too, your promise to me would be fulfilled as well. In the Me'iri, he puts it a little bit differently. He says, "V'lulei shi'odaiti zois mitarascha, if not for me having known that which we spoke of in the previous three verses." How did David HaMelech know this? Why did he sing these songs of praise or compose these words? Because he knew it from the Torah. So he says, if not having known this from your Torah, Shehu Shashua, which was my delight, Oz avadati b'anyi, then I would be lost in my misfortune and my agony. Heisi misyayish mikol toif, I would forget, I would give up hope on ever seeing good. L'rev terasi, because of the so much misfortune that I had faced. V'nesate alibi l'ispal, I never would have even set my heart to pray to you. I never would think that you were going to answer me. U'l'ischanin l'fanecha, to plead before you. And if I wouldn't daven, I wouldn't plead before you. Azavadati min ha'ilu mazel min ha'ilu mabo. I'd be lost from this world and from the next world. So really, it was the message of Torah that enabled me to pray. And David HaMelech's prayer is captured in the first three verses of Lamed. And this idea of la'ilu mashem dvorcha nitzu b'shamoy, and the concept of l'dor v'dor emunasecha, and the pasuk of l'mishpatecha, the three verses that we learned prior. So this enabled David HaMelech to have the spiritual courage not to give up, to continue to persevere. It inspired him to daven. It ensured him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Almighty God, would indeed fulfill the promises to him. And David HaMelech says that saved him. So it's very clear from the way the Radak or the Me'iri understood this pasuk that this verse comes as kind of on the heels of the Lamed trilogy that we have just concluded in our previous classes. So what is it about the Torah? What did the Torah give other than the message that God's presence is imminent? So Mitzudas David, I think, adds a very important point here. He says it's not just a Torah idea, the Torah idea of Hashgacha Pratis, of divine design, the Torah values of Hashem being involved and nothing is unfolding by happenstance. Because David HaMelech says, Lu Tiroscha Shashui, it's not just a Torah idea. Here it's almost like this idea sustained him. So why does it say, Lu Tiroscha, that if not for your Torah? So Meiri says, I got this idea from the Torah. But that leaves us wanting. Then the verse says, Lulei Seirascha, if not for your Torah, but really you could have said, Lulei Zeis, if not for this, if not for everything I just articulated in verses 89, 90, and 91. If not for that, I would be lost. But here it says, Lulei Seirascha, if not for your Torah. And there's an emphasis on Shashuai, that the Torah is the delight. So what is it about the Torah that specifically enabled David HaMelech to overcome his challenges? It was because he delighted in the Torah that somehow he was not overwhelmed by his misfortune and his sorrow. So the Metzudas David says, "Im lei hayisa esek teroscha misamech haisi." If not for the toil that I expended over the Torah, which brought me delight and a sense of satisfaction, aziyisi never, then I'll be lost. So here, Metzudas adds a very interesting point here. He says, David HaMelech delighted in the Torah. And the delight that the Torah provided for him, this enabled him to overcome the sorrow, because the sorrow was taxing and it eats away at your soul. So you have to replenish yourself somehow. And it was the study of Torah that gave David HaMelech the simcha, the joy to replenish that which was drained from him, to give him a fresh infusion of strength, of courage, of wherewithal. And with this, David HaMelech could overcome his problems. The words of the Metzudas David are perhaps augmented or better understood in light of what the Tana de Eliyahu Rabba says. In chapter 27, in the 13th entry, he says like this, Yesh ba'adam divrei Torah. If a person contains words of Torah, v'yisurin boyin olav, and bad things happen, so li bay misyashav olav, he is able to bring himself comfort, he finds comfort in the words of the Torah. But if he has no Torah, and then misfortune strikes, then liboy mismarmerov, then he's filled with bitterness, and that bitterness becomes overwhelming. So how is a person, by having Torah, going to somehow find the strength to continue to soldier on? The Yeshuas Yankiv in his commentary says that liboy mismarmerov, his heart becomes fully embittered, means because he becomes estranged from God. He gets angry at God. He's angry at God. He loses his faith. He loses God. There's nothing left. Then he's living a life which doesn't have any value. He has a life with no virtue, no God in his life. But the people who lose God in their life. So he says, how do you deal with misfortune? Life was great, and then everything turned. And life is terrible now. How do you deal with it? So he says, the answer is Yatzdik Olav HaSadin. A person who has Torah finds the ability to make Hashem's judgment righteous. How do you do that? He says, okay, let's take an example of somebody who's suffering from misfortune. You tell me if this works, okay? He's ra'iv, he's hungry. Tzamei, he's thirsty. Arim, he's naked. And ein l'mezeinus, he got nothing in the pantry. That's pretty bad, right? That's already worse than most people's problems. Hungry, thirsty, naked. No clothes, no pantry. Pretty bad. Oh, but Rakshahu Chai V'Kayim, he's still alive. He's still kicking. How is he alive? Lechem tsar, small, very, very tiny amount of nourishment. Mayim lachatz, very small amount of hydration. Be'edum v'b'chesa koil, the guy is basically naked. He's got nothing. He's totally bereft of his material needs. So what happens in that kind of case? Yoimar, he says, kach kosev b'teira, does it not say in the Torah? Tachas ha-shaloi avadas ha-shem alekecha b'simchu v'tu livov, because I did not serve God out of joy and out of gladness of heart, but when I had everything, that in the end it will come, v'avadatas ha-vecho, you will serve your enemies. And it says over there that it will be berov, u'betzoma, u've'eireim, u'becheser koil, that it will be in a state of starvation and thirst and total deprivation. It does say that. So he says, you know what? So God knows what he's doing. And for some reason, this is what happened to happen to me. But Al-Kain, Yisbarech, V'yishtabach, HaMelech HaGadol V'HaKadosh, he thanks God, Shu Chai V'Kayim, at least I'm alive. The God who lives forever is giving me life. Nasan L'Chayim B'Olam, Hashem gave me life. He didn't destroy me. Amazing. With his life, there's hope. I can still live. I can push forward, I will overcome. However, if a person does not have words of Torah, and the words of Torah are not meratzon eisei b'shasi asun b'oinov, do not bring him comfort in the time when misfortune strikes. So then, kvar karti esatzim in olam, then I have removed myself from this world, which doesn't mean chas v'shalom, suicide. It means, as the Yeshua Shankiv says again, because I lose my connection to God. And this is what David HaMelech says, yilmolid divrei Torah meratzon eisei, if not for the words of Torah, because of the misfortune, akarti esatzim in olam, I would uproot myself from the world. And he quotes here our pasuk, lulei sedascha shashui, if not for the Torah being my delight, az avadati ba'anyu, then I would be lost in my sorrow, in my misfortune. And the Yeshua Shankiv says, ha'yisi misraim al midesav yizbarach ha'shalom, I would be angry at God. And once I'm angry at God, then I lose direction in life. So really and truly, it seems to me that the Tanit V'Elio is saying to us what Viktor Frankl discovered in the concentration camps, when people had nothing, when they were naked, and they were starving, and they were thirsty, and the only thing that kept them alive was meaning in life. Meaning in life. It didn't have all of Maslow's hierarchy. It didn't have, it was Rav and Sama, there was no food, there was no heat, there was no shelter, there was nothing. But it had meaning. That's what Tanit V'Elio is saying. He's saying, I have meaning in life. If I have meaning in life, I have God in my life, I have meaning in life, so then I'm able to survive. In other words, David HaMelech is really talking about what Frankl discovered thousands of years later. David Melch says it right here in living color. He says, Lulei Seidoscha, if not for Torah, which means if not for meaning, if not for direction, if not for a purpose in life, I become overwhelmed. In general, our sages talk about the difference between pain and between sorrow or anguish. And one is very, very physical. It's very physical. A lack of having one's biological needs met brings pain. If somebody is hungry, doesn't have food, there's pain, the pain of hunger. If somebody is thirsty, doesn't have hydration, there's the pain of thirst. It's a painful thing. But this is not a unique human phenomenon. Animals can be hungry. Animals can be thirsty. An animal can be injured. It can be bludgeoned. It can be beaten. It can be cut. And the animal can cry in pain. Animals do cry in pain. But animals have no stress. Animals have no anxiety, per se. They don't, not that they really can compute and understand. Animals don't have misfortune. They only understand the actual pain. So with an animal, it's pain. With a person, it can be sadness and depression. With a person, it could be a sense of misfortune, a sense of loneliness, a sense of being overwhelmed by all the negativity in life. That is a uniquely human construct. And that's what David HaMelech talks about. Animals do not need David HaMelech. They don't need Torah, and they don't need Viktor Frankl. What do they need? Like Maslow, he chose to look at a person like an animal. The animal needs the needs met. He needs his biscuit. He needs his comfort zone. He needs his warmth. He needs his shelter. That's what the animal needs. The animal does not require more than this. A human being does. And David HaMelech says, because my delight was in the Torah, my delight was not in physical comforts. My delight was not in fame and fortune, which is just evanescent, mist, and meaningless. My life, my delight... Delight is what gives a person pleasure in life, what motivates a person, what gives a person a sense of joyful fulfillment. What was David HaMelech's delight? The Torah was his delight. And precisely because the Torah was his delight, that's why he was able to survive despite so much suffering and so much misfortune, not pain. So we're not talking about pain here. For pain, you need medication. But everybody knows that a person who is very, very sad and depressed, pharmacology is not the only answer. Pharmacology is an answer in an acute situation, but ultimately you need therapy. Ultimately, a person has to come around to appreciating the value and virtue in life. Otherwise, you just become a zombie, a drugged up zombie. You're not going to be able to really live. You're not going to be able to overcome your misfortune. You're not going to be able to find a sense of fulfillment in life unless you have fulfillment, unless you have purpose. And that is the meaning of Lulei Sedascha Shashui. Now, truth be told, this is not a unique Davidic message. It's not unique to David HaMelech. It's obvious that everything David HaMelech said is relevant for us in our time and in our age. And specifically, I would say, in our time, when people are more unhappy than ever before in history, there's a higher rate of suicide, a higher rate of depression, a higher rate of people that are using all kinds of pharmacology to try to stay happy. It's unbelievable. We never has there been a generation that had so much, and never has there been a generation that is so miserable. I met a kid yesterday at a simcha, and a kid And I said to him, did you put on tefillin? And he said, I did put on tefillin. He says, it works for me. He said, about having issues. I said, really, what kind of issues? He's having anxieties and fears. This is like a well-balanced kid, nice, handsome boy in school, pursuing a profession. I'm like, what is your anxiety? Whatever, I'm just anxious. What are you anxious about? What is your problem? Like, what is your issues? You don't have any, it seems to me, doesn't have any issues. And I said, you know, I'm going to stop asking questions like that. Because, look, I have issues. I understand. I'm glad tefillin works for you. I wanted to tell him that really you should put on tefillin because Hashem said to put on tefillin, not because it works for you. But if it works for you, good. I'm glad at least it works for you. The notion, this is like a normal thing. Normal people have issues today. Because we have a deluge of just about everything except for meaning and spirituality. When a mitzvah is only good because it works for me, then it has no meaning. That's not meaning. That's selfishness. That's idolatry. Because we're living in a time which has been, the society has assaulted our hearts, minds, and souls for the last 50 years, robbing it of any vestige of holiness, of any level of bittul, of nullification before Hashem, a time of extraordinary ego and I and material pleasure, uber alles. And this is what we're left with. So David HaMelech was telling us way back when, Luli Siras Chashashoy, what gives a person a sense of meaning in life, what gives a person a sense of mission and purpose, what helps you overcome misfortune and anxiety is when you have Tzedos HaShashua, you have delight in Hashem's Torah, because it's Hashem's Torah. So, but having said this, the Ibn Ezra very interestingly says, Keneged Dor V'Dor. David HaMelech said this corresponding to every generation. So it's obvious that this corresponds to future generations. But Ibn Ezra adds here, he doesn't say Keneged Dor V'Dor on every Pasuk and Tillim. This is a rarity. Ibn Ezra says here, Lulei Sirash Chashoy, this is Dor V'Dor. Lulei Sha'azartani B'Teiroscha, if not for having helped us with your Torah, Oz HaYisya'ev, that'd be lost. So the question, of course, is what does Ibn Ezra mean when he says, Lulei Sirash Chashoy is Midor V'Dor. So, whilst I can't know with any kind of certainty, I could tell you that it would seem to me that Ibn Ezra is alluding to the Medrash Tillim. The Medrash Tillim says that this is not the idea of David HaMelech, but ultimately this goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this goes back to Mitzrayim. And Medrash Tillim says, Amru Yisrael, Israel said, Alulei Toirascha Shahoyo Imi, if not for the Torah that was with me, Vehi Shashoy, and it was my delight, I would be lost. He doesn't say David HaMelech says this. He says Israel said this. V'chein Moshe Omer, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and this goes back to the 94th chapter of Tillim, one of the chapters of Tillim that was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Berev Sarapai, and all my anxiety and foreboding, V'kirbi that was inside me, Tanchumecho Yishashu Nafshi. It was your delight that comforted my soul. So in other words, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's anxiety and foreboding? Going back to Moshe's life, to being in Mitzrayim. V'chein, the Medrash Tillim says, Parei Oimer, Parei says, Tichba do aveido ala anoshim. Ratchet up the level of work. Make it more difficult. Don't give them a respite. Make sure that the work is more and more difficult. Vayishu b'divrei sheker, and then they won't listen to words of falsehood. This he was referring to Moshe Rabbeinu's ideas and the notion that we would go out of Mitzrayim to serve Hashem. So the Pharaoh tried to break them through work. And if you read the Midrashim on the slavery in Mitzrayim, the physical material pain was the least of it. There was an emotional abuse. There was mental torment. The whole Golus Mitzrayim was designed to be a demoralization so that people would collapse. There would be nothing left of them. Not only physically. The Nazis didn't only physically beat us, they dehumanized us. By shaving off people's heads and tattooing them like animals and refusing to speak, call them names, by denuding them of their name and their identity, they dehumanized, and that way they broke the spirit. And what enabled people to survive? You go back to Viktor Frankl, what enabled? Meaning. They had meaning in life. So this is not a new tactic, it's a very old tactic. And this is what happened in Mitzrayim. So how did they maintain their composure? And the answer is, Sfarim Hoyu Lehem. They had scrolls, Torah scrolls. Back in Mitzrayim, they had Torah scrolls. They had books. Vayu Mishtashim Behem Shabbos L'Shabbos. They would delight in these books from Shabbat to Shabbat, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a young man, enabled the Jewish slaves to get off for Shabbat. When they had off on Shabbat, what did they do? They delighted in the words of Torah. Lekach nemar. That's why David HaMelech comes along all those years later, having learned the lessons of antiquity, having learned the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu, and what happened to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And he says, Lulei Seyroshcha Shashua, if not for the Torah, which was my delight, Ozavarti, then I would be lost. There's a story that I've told you before, but to accelerate the story, there was a cantor who lived here in Toronto. His name is Cantor Rosenblum. And he once came to a lecture of mine. It was called Faith on the Fire. And it was about how people served Hashem and tried to maintain their faith and their spiritual courage under the hell of the Holocaust. And it was a very, very difficult lecture to deliver. And I shared all kinds of different shiles. So Tshuva's questions, responses that was asked during the Holocaust period in the ghetto and in the camps. And towards the end, you're a liar. We didn't think about God. We didn't think about spirituality. We thought about ourselves and our food. And all we wanted was food. And it was a terrible night. It didn't go over like it was late. Didn't go. Years later, I walk into a shiva house, and who did I see at the corner of my eye? Cantor Rosenblum. I said to my wife, I said, Faye, you don't want to be here because this is going to be like fireworks now, and you don't need to be attacked. I'll deal with it. And I kind of like to just, go into the family sitting shiva, and I was waiting to be like attacked. I hadn't seen this guy since. And he came my direction and was like, almost like in a trance, and he was like, he started to hug me and kiss me, and all right, fine. Like I was like in shock, and somehow we just like sat down. I even though there was a seat beneath, my knees just gave way. We sat down, and we spoke for like an hour, and it was a beautiful, beautiful conversation. And he started to tell me about the camps and about what gave him life and about how they survived. Detailed conversation, but one of the things that he told me was he's a Polish Jew, so he was ghettoized and told about his shtetl and how we went, how ghettoization, and then there was a larger ghettoization, and then there was the Aktion, and then there was a roundup, and sent to camps, and he was going through the different camps he was in. I don't even remember all the names of the camps. And at some point, he told me about a particular camp that he was in, the last camp, I think, when he was liberated. And in that camp, he said, there came a transport of Hungarian boys. It was they were young boys. And they came, he told me, with their Rosh Hashiva. He came with their teacher. He said, he doesn't know what his name was. Nobody had names, he said. The boys called him Levi Bachi, which is like Hungarian for uncle, right? It's like an avuncular term, Uncle Levi. And he said, it was the worst camp, he said. It was the worst than all the other camps, he said. The mortality rate was just unbelievable. People were dying like flies. Dozens of fatalities a day. People just dropped like flies. It was freezing. It was awful, awful. Everything bad you could imagine. And he said, at night in the bunk, Levi Bachi, all the boys would gather around him, and he would tell them stories of the Gemara, and he would tell them stories of the Medrash. He would teach them Torah. And he says the Nazis noticed that the mortality rate started to slow down. The people stopped dying. This is unbelievable. He told me the people, literally the mortality rate suddenly stopped. It lessened. And the Nazis figured out that this guy, Levi, was somehow giving the boys hope. And he said, I can't bring myself to tell you what they did to him in front of us to demoralize us. I still see it in front of my eyes, he said. I can't bring myself to describe it to you, how they murdered him, how they killed him, ripped him to pieces. And he said, this is what kept us alive. And I said to him, but I thought you told me that in the camps there was no God and there was only hunger and there was no spirituality. And he looked at me sheepishly. Yeah, I did say that. I said, but you're telling me you stayed? Yeah, I did say that. I went to see him later before he died, and I was actually was a Yutis Kislev afternoon. I spent a long time with him, and he told me his stories. Unbelievable person. Now, here's the point. That was mamash, vivid, lulei seroscha shashui ozavarti b'ani. They had no food. They had no shelter. They had nothing. They had nothing. They were mamash, like it says in Tanit Viliyo. They were rav, v'tzomei, v'edem, v'b'cheser koil. They had nothing. All they had is shehu chai v'kayim. They were alive. That's it. But what kept them alive? What kept them alive was they had Torah. Ilmoli divrei Torah, they couldn't have made it. The words of Torah, he said, that's what kept me alive. It's the only reason I'm alive. And it was, says, thankfully, liberation came shortly afterwards, because I wouldn't have made it. None of us would have made it. We all would have died. And this Levi, he says, I owe him my life. He kept us alive. This is the words of David HaMelech. This is what he means. So this is how it was in Mitzrayim. And this is how it was for Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is how it's been through the ages. There's a beautiful medrash in Eichad Abba, which expresses this in very, very vivid and very, very poignant way. The medrash Eichad Abba bases itself on the word which is found in the words of Eicha, that it says in the third chapter, the seventh verse is, Zeis oshev elibi al kein oichil. This I take to heart, and therefore I hope. That's what the words are. And the Mefarshim talk about what this means, but I want to share with you the Medrash. So the Medrash says, Mashal u'moha davar daima. If you want to understand, what does this mean? The Medrash teaches us that Rabbi Abba bar Kahana said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that this is lemelech shenasa matruna. This, the metaphor for this would be a king who married a matron. Matron means a prominent woman. Woman of who was highly respected. You know, it was a shidduch. The king married her. V'kasav lo ksuba meruba. And he wrote her a very fancy marital document. V'omar lo, and he said, kach v'kach chupos ani eiselich. This is how many canopies I'm going to make you for our beautiful wedding. Kach v'kach aragvonos teves ani neisenlich. This is how many beautiful aragvonos. Aragvonos comes to the word argomon. Argomon is fine wool. I'm going to make you these beautiful purple wool dresses or whatever. This will be your wardrobe. So he talked about her dwelling and her wardrobe, made all these promises, and it's all written and signed and sealed and documented. It's all written in the scroll. And then Hanicha HaMelech, the king, leaves, and he went off on a journey. The Eicher, and he was gone for a very long time. So the neighbors came in. The neighbors were taunting her. And they said, the king up and left you. He's gone. He went overseas. He's not coming back for you. And she would weep, and she would weep and sigh and groan. And then she would go into her home. And she would open and she would find the ksuba. She would read the ketubah, the marriage document. And she would reread those beautiful words in the ksuba. This and this many canopies on the yestach. This is what your wardrobe will be like. And I'm going to give all these things. So miyad haisa misnachemes. That's how she would find comfort. So they were saying to her, as the Mefarshim explained, go find another husband. When you're still young and beautiful, just go find a new husband. You're never going to get married otherwise. You'll be alone forever. And what does this mean? These are the nations of the world telling us, God is not coming back for you. The God of Israel has abandoned you. Come and join our faith system. Come and find comfort in our spirituality. We are mighty and powerful. We are the wave of the present and the future. Your God is gone. Your God has abandoned you. And the poor matron would cry and weep, but she would remember, she would find comfort in this document. Liyamim, eventually, Bahamelech, the king came. Amar lo, he said to her endearingly, Biti, he said, my daughter, Anitome, Echim Tantli, how did you wait for me? How didn't you give up on me? Kaleisan Hashanim all these years. Amar lo, Adoni HaMelech, the princess said, Your Royal Highness, Im Molek Suba Meruba Shakasafta, if not for that beautiful ketubah, that wedding document, that the wedding agreement you wrote out, Vinosatli, you gave me, Kvar Ibduni Shchinoisai, my neighbors would have overwhelmed me. I never could have survived. Kach, says the Medrash, Evdik Echov Meninas Yisrael. The pagan idolaters, the nations of the world, they taunt and torment the Jewish people. Va'inu lehem, they say, Elikechem Histerpon of Mikem, God has hidden his face from you. Vesilik Shchinosim Mikem, he has abandoned you, he has taken his presence from you. And he has destroyed you, but the Migdash, as the Mefarshim explain, he has exiled you from the land. He has given the might and the valor and power to other nations and other faith systems. And he's never coming back to you. Mashiach's never coming. And the Jewish people, they weep. And they groan. But then they come into the shuls. The houses of Torah study. And they read in the Torah. Umitzian, they find Shekosov that it says, Ufonisi aleichem v'hifreisreschem. God says, I will turn to you. This is in the Parshas Bechukosai, in the end of the book of Leviticus, after it says all the curses of what Hashem will do if we don't behave and if we don't follow and if we don't remain loyal and loving and devoted. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that in the end He will turn to us and He will make us multiply. V'nasati mishkani b'seichachem, that He will place His mishkan, His dwelling amongst us. V'salachti b'seichachem. And we read these words before the Techacha, before all the bad stuff. Hashem makes this promise to us. We take comfort. And Lamachar, he says, in a tomorrow, which hopefully is not very far away, when the time of redemption will come, Omer Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty will say to us, the Holy One blessed will be, He will say to Israel, Bonai, Ani Tomei, my children, I am astonished. Heichim Tantimli, how did you wait for me? How come there's still Jews waiting for me? Kolei Sinashanam, all these years, it seems I abandon you. Vehein Emimu, we will say, Lefanav Rebbeinu Shalaylam, if not for the Torah you gave us, then the nations would have gotten rid of us a long time ago. We never would have been able to have the courage and the metal to continue to soldier on. And this is the meaning of Zois Osher V'Libi. It's this that I take to heart. Al Kanechel, that's what I hope. Says the Medrash, Ein Zois Ela Torah. Zot is Torah, like it says, V'zot HaTorah. And this, says the Medrash Eicha, is what David HaMelech was saying. If not for your Torah being my delight. So this is our source of comfort. This is our refuge. When the world abandons us, when the world gangs up on us, when the world taunts us, when the world says God doesn't care about you anymore, we open our Torah and we read that Hashem promises that He will be with us, and in this we find comfort. And it is the demoralization and it's the abuse and it's the mental and the emotional stress that's placed on us that's even more difficult than the physical abuse and the pain. We remain loyal to Hashem. And the only way we remain loyal to Hashem is because we're able to immerse ourselves and find delight in His Torah. This is how Yirmiyahu Navi speaks about it in Eicha. And this is what David HaMelech meant when he said, Lulei Seroscha Shashoi, as Ibn Ezra says, Keneged Dor V'Dor. This is a generational thing. This is not David HaMelech. This was the case for the Jewish people. It's how we overcame suffering and travail and misfortune and all kinds of pain and depression and anxiety in the past. And this is how we continue to overcome the challenges and the difficulties of Golos in our time as well. And from this Medrash Rabbah, so the question still be asked, so what is the emphasis, Lulei Roscha? It's your Torah. What's the emphasis on the Torah? What does the Torah give us? For example, that the mitzvahs don't give us. So the Tehillah of David, he says like this. There is a famous Gemara in Meseches Bava Basra on page 10, where there was a very, very wicked and evil Roman Caesar. His name was Turnus Rufus. This evil man, who lived approximately 7 decades after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, he would taunt Rabbi Akiva in multiple ways. Incidentally, he's the one who not only destroyed the area of the Beis HaMikdash, but plowed up the Temple Mount to the point that we should not be able to recognize even where the Beis HaMikdash was. And we don't know where the Beis HaMikdash really was. Today, it's really a mystery to us, somewhere on the Temple Mount. So this Turnus Rufus said to Rabbi Akiva that he was going to outlaw the giving of tzedakah. Now, the Jewish people have always given tzedakah. That's the last thing we lose. Tzedakah is the sign of being Avraham Avinu's children. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, tzedakah is the terminology that's used for all mitzvahs, or mitzvah means tzedakah. And he was going to outlaw tzedakah. And he had a rationale, a holy rationale. You know I'm going to outlaw tzedakah, he said? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reitzah She'ani. God wants it to be poor people. He said, if God didn't want the poor people, why did He make them poor? You're a believer. You believe everything's from God. Okay, so if God made him poor, let him be poor. Who are you to challenge God? Who are you to undo what God did? So what did Rabbi Akiva answer? Rabbi Akiva answered, I'll tell you why you're wrong. It says, She'anu kibonim, because we are like children. And every father wants that his children should be sustained. This is like that famous, almost cliche, borderline silly story, but nonetheless makes a point of the little boy who's standing on the seashore and he's waiting for this giant cruise ship to come by. And a man comes and he says, little boy, what are you doing here on the seashore? He says, I'm waiting for that big cruise ship in the distance. I want it to come by and I'm going to wave. And the captain of the ship is going to wave back. And the man laughs at the boy and he says, you think the captain of the ship has nothing better than to do than to scan the shore with his binoculars and wave to you? And the boy said, yes, absolutely. I know that he will. And the man said, how are you so sure? The little boy said, because my father. So Rabbi Akiva said, you're right, you have a beautiful rationale. You think God cares? Yeah, he does care. He does care because there's children. And everybody cares about the children. And says the Tilul of David, when the Torah was being given, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up Mount Sinai. And the Gemara Masechet Shabbos on Daf Peches tells us that he was accosted by a group of malachim. And the malachim said, what is a Yuludisha? What is a mortal doing amongst us? They said to God, why are you giving the Torah to the people? You think they're going to keep the Torah? They're not going to keep the Torah. Give us the Torah. Well, you know what? We'll treat the Torah right. They're going to denigrate the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, no, answer them. And Moshe Rabbeinu answers them. And he says, and they came with a legal brief. They filed a legal brief. What was the legal brief they filed? They filed a brief that said, there's a din of bar metzra. If I'm going to sell a piece of property, I cannot sell it to a stranger. I first have to sell it to my neighbors. They have to have the first opportunity to purchase it. The bar metzra, the neighbor, gets first opportunity. So he says, we're the neighbors. We're the angels. We're like with God. If you want to give away your Torah, give it to us. So they even had legal rationale. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's response? One of his responses was, we're the children of Hashem. And when it comes to children, there's no din of bar metzer. You can always sell it to your children. The neighbors don't get first place over the children. And the point that's being made to us is that it's the Torah that conveys this message to us. The mitzvahs could be performed sometimes as avodim. From a perspective of mitzvahs, we're doing God's will. We're like his servants. We're like his slaves. And really, that's what the whole idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, avodai. We're God's slaves. We left Mitzrayim, we were serving the Pharaoh, and now we serve God. Okay, so we used to serve. It's a changing of masters. The notion of subservience and obedience isn't really what changed. It's only the master that changed. Now we're Avdei Hashem. But from a Torah perspective, it's not just a question of Avodim. The Torah speaks about us in the glowing terms of children. It says, Banim Atem Hashem Aleikeichem. You shouldn't do A, C, or B. Noyim, you have to be beautiful, you have to be appropriate and upright because you're Hashem's children. That's a different story. And that's Luli Serascha. If we only had mitzvahs to do, if we didn't have Torah study, which is the case with most of the faith systems, the emphasis is on doing or living in a certain spirit. For us, it's not just living in a certain spirit. For us, it's not just the idea of doing the technical mitzvahs. For us, it's the idea of learning Hashem's Torah. And when we learn Hashem's Torah, we know Hashem. We become close to Hashem. And it's the Torah that makes us feel like a child. It's the Torah that helps us understand the love that Hashem has for us. So the Tehillah of David says that's the meaning of Luli Seirascha Shashui, specifically the emphasis on the concept of Torah. In one of the last sichas, in the final winter, before the Rebbe unfortunately fell, okay, I said the year before, 1991, the Rebbe spoke about the virtue and value of Torah versus mitzvahs on two separate occasions in a very interesting way. And we could connect it to the concept of Luli Seirascha Shashui. It's the Torah that's our delight. It doesn't say Avodas Hashem, it doesn't say prayer. It emphasizes the concept of Torah. And the Rebbe said, we know that our sages tell us, Kol Ha'oisek B'Torah, that anybody who is involved in the Torah, in the teaching of something, so Milo Alava Kosov Kilu, the Torah considers it as if he had actually done it. So what is it when that statement is made, it's actually made about with regard to offerings. It's Sigmara Menachas, and it says, Kola Isu Bateras Ayla, we don't have the ability to bring offerings to Hashem today, but when we study, then it's as if we're bringing the offering before Hashem. There's another medrash that says that when Yechezkel was told to go and tell the Jewish people in Galut about the new Beis HaMikdash, he said, I'm going to tell them about the new Beis HaMikdash. They can't do anything about it. What's the purpose? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean? Just because my house is in ruins, they shouldn't be building it? In other words, by discussing and talking about the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if we build a Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Rebbe emphasized during the 3 weeks of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. What should we be doing? Building the Beis HaMikdash, learning about the Beis HaMikdash. So the concept then of learning about something, it becomes as if you actually fulfill it. And therefore, the Rebbe said, you have to know that when it comes to mitzvahs that we can't fulfill, either because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, or because certain mitzvahs are earmarked for a certain gender, or for certain positions of Jewish people, whether it's the Kohen Gadol or the Melech Yisrael, how do we do those mitzvahs? How do those mitzvahs apply in our day and age? And the answer is, when we learn about it. When we learn about the mitzvah, it's as if we're doing the mitzvah. It's as if we're benefiting from the mitzvah. The mitzvah comes animated and activated. So it's okay. We say, commando over le amrinan. You know, you're doing, you're learning about it. It's as if. It's as if. But the Rebbe said that there's a certain virtue in the learning of Torah, even more so than in the performance of mitzvahs. And this is how it goes. In mitzvahs, there is positive mitzvahs and there's negative mitzvahs. So positive mitzvahs are mitzvahs that we have to do, things we engage in. And negative mitzvahs are things we avoid, we restrain ourselves from doing. So one is positive and one is negative. The Rebbe said when you learn about positive and negative mitzvahs, all of it's being fulfilled in a positive way because you're learning about it. So even the negative mitzvah, it's not the ruling out of something, it's not the restraint, it's not the lack of something, it's you're actively engaged in it. How? Because you're learning about it. So it's a positive spin on everything. The Rebbe said this is the meaning of the words in Tehillim, I think it's Psalm 68, that says over there, that Achaz Dibir Alekim Shtayim Zu Shomoti. God said one word, but you heard two. So on a literal level, it's Zachar V'Shomer. It has multiple meanings, but one of the meanings is that Shtayim Zu Shomoti means the Torah divides in Anoichi and Li'ilucha. Anoichi means I am, Li'ilucha means don't have other gods. I am God, don't have other gods. Which as Alter Rebbe explains in detail in Tanya, is the source of all positive mitzvahs. Anoichi is the source of all positive mitzvahs. And Li'ilucha is the source of all negative mitzvahs. But really and truly, Achaz Dibir Elokim, it's all one. It's all one. It's all one. It's this connection that we have to God. As it develops, as it unfolds, it becomes Shtayim Zu Shomoti. Then it has to unfold in two ways. Things we do and things we don't do. Things we engage in and behavior that we eschew and avoid. But ultimately, it's Achaz Dibir Elokim. Hashem spoke one thing. So the one thing he spoke, this is the essence of Torah, that represents the entirety of all the mitzvahs, both the 248 positive mitzvahs and the 365 negative mitzvahs in a positive sense. And that's only found in the Torah. That's the truest comfort. The Rebbe explained this months later in the following way. This was on Parshas Yisrei, and then there was a hadron that was compiled from a number of different sikhs that the Rebbe spoke in that year, 1991. And towards the end of it, the Rebbe basically says like this. He says, mitzvahs are instructions for how we're supposed to behave in this world. And because mitzvahs are instructions of how we're supposed to behave in this world, the world obviously is part of the conversation. The realities that we have to deal with, whether it's the poor person or the damaged or injury that was caused that you have to now make indemnification for, or business that's to be conducted in a legal manner, or the food which is kosher or is not kosher, whenever we're talking about mitzvahs or a code of behavior, we have people who are endowed with the ability to choose the right and wrong, and circumstances. Some of them are very far from perfect circumstances because the mitzvah doesn't only talk about heavenly things. It talks about earthly things, regular things, concrete things, negative things. So the mitzvahs, whilst they are the Ratzon Hashem, but they leave room for us. There's the I, because if there's no I, who's going to fill the mitzvah? I have to be here to fulfill a mitzvah. There's the I and there's the world, and I and the world have to somehow coexist in a holy way by utilizing the material and the ordinary and the mundane for a holy purpose. But when we talk about Torah, we're talking about us getting almost lost in the Torah, us elevating ourselves into a level where we become immersed in Torah thought and theory. And when you become immersed in Torah thought and theory, at some point it's not about I. There isn't the I and the object. You're talking about ultimately the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spiritual message of Torah, or the ideas of Torah. Now, it's true that the ideas of Torah on a lofty heavenly level speak in heavenly terminology. And the phraseology and the verbiage that's used for the Torah, the currency, if you will, in which Torah ideas are negotiated and conveyed in the material sense, is not the same language. But the ideas are ultimately the same ideas. The ideas didn't change. That's why Torah is like water. Glaciers melt, come from a high place, come down into the lowlands. And the point for us is that it's only the Torah that can help us to be lifted above the reality that sometimes inundates and seems to overwhelm. And that's what the Torah provides us with comfort. And that's why when circumstances become too difficult to bear, we retreat into the Torah. We find refuge in the Torah. And when Torah is Shashuai, when the Torah is our delight, so then a person can overcome anything that comes their way. And if not for the Torah, if not for the ability to remove ourselves from the trials and tribulations, from the suffering and the anxiety, from the sadness, from the difficult circumstances through which the Jewish people have suffered over the ages, if we couldn't remove ourselves from that by immersing ourselves in the delight of Torah, then we never could have survived. Then we never could have made it, and we would not be able to continue to soldier on. And so this is David HaMelech's message to us. As we started off, of course, it's a continuation of everything we learned. It's the notion that everything has Hashgacha Pratis and everything is divine design, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make things, there's nothing else by happenstance. But it's more than that. It's the message of Torah itself. It's the closeness that we're able to nurture and develop through the study of Torah that enables us to overcome whatever might come our way, so that we will, Emetz Hashem, very, very speedily be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He's going to say to us, how did you wait? How did you survive? And our answer will be, it was your Torah. It was the marriage document you gave us at the betrothal at Sinai that enabled us to wait for the matrimony, for the chuppah that will soon take place in the third Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen.